You are listening to the Developing Up Podcast.
This is the podcast focused on the non-technical side of being a developer.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Developing Up Podcast. As always, we are your hosts, Jake Reynes.
And Mike Miles. And today we're actually talking about maintaining a healthy work-life balance.
Healthy work-life balance is an important thing to everyone. It's something that you may not always be considering, but it's something that you should always be monitoring within your life. And I think we touched on some really good points in this episode. We talked about what it actually is and why it's important, how Mike and I deal with it personally, and also some ways to achieve work-life balance.
I would say from this conversation, Jake, it was interesting to see how the differences in how we maintain work-life balance and what it means to us, but then some of the similarities that went with that.
One quick takeaway is Mike's buffer zone.
Yeah.
Mike's buffer zone is...
Don't explain it. Don't give it away. They have to listen.
All right, guys. You're just going to have to listen. Hope you enjoy.
All right. Enjoy the episode.
Good afternoon, Mike. How are you today?
I'm doing all right, Jake. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Well, actually, I'm doing good. Are you just all right?
No, I guess I'm better than all right. It's just my go-to answer. It's, you know, keeping the levels the same at the beginning of every episode, I guess.
I'm just trying to promote positivity.
You sound much better than our last episode, at the beginning of our last episode.
Yes, I feel a lot better, actually.
That's great. For anyone who's just tuning in, our last episode was actually on burnout and how to deal with it. Recommend you take a listen to it. It's up on our website, developingup.com.
Sounds like a very simple topic, but... I believe that people will find it to be more complex.
Yeah, and I feel the same way about this episode and what we're talking about today.
So what are we talking about today, Mike?
Today we're going to talk about work-life balance, how to maintain it, why it's important, what it means to us, as well as ways to monitor it and foster work-life balance on a team.
I like that we kind of always tie things back to a team or as a manager or as an individual. It's something that I think we can kind of provide value for everyone to take away.
Development is the ultimate team sport.
I like that. I'm going to put that on the bumper of my car.
All right.
All right. So let me ask you, Mike, what does work-life balance mean to you?
So to me, work-life balance means maintaining a separation with your work life and your personal life. Not that the two can't intermix, but making sure that each has boundaries on the other one so that they don't bleed into each other too much.
Right. That is a great answer. I also believe that when people hear the term work-life balance, they might think, how much am I working versus how much am I playing? And I think it's important to distinguish the difference between having a personal life and playing. Because I know for me, work-life balance means not working too much. And by not working too much, that frees up time for me to do things that I consider valuable to me progressing as a person in my own endeavors and hobbies.
And that is one of the key points, is that we are people. We're not just developers. We're not one-sided. There's a lot of aspects to maintaining a healthy life and to growing as an individual and being able to foster your play, foster your social life, and foster your work and career growth are equally important to be a healthy individual. Mm-hmm.
It's worth noting, jumping into this, that you may rarely have a bad work-life balance. Sometimes it comes in phases. Sometimes it may not happen at all in years. But it's also important to keep in mind what a good work-life balance is and how to always make sure that you are in it and not slipping away from it.
And what is a healthy work-life balance is going to be different for everybody. So what percentage of your time you spend on what and what feels healthy to you is going to be personal to you. So Jake, your work-life balance is going to be very different than my work-life balance, but it's important that we both establish it for ourselves.
Right. So Mike, let me ask you, what does a poor work-life balance look like for you personally?
For me personally, a poor work-life balance is bringing home my work laptop every night, eating dinner when I get home, firing up my laptop and doing work and ignoring my family basically until it's time to go to bed, and then going to bed, waking up, coming back into work. On the flip side of that, which is something I don't experience as much, it's coming in late to work, leaving early, doing the bare minimum so I can just go out and do a bunch of other things.
I like how you brought in the flip side of it. When a lot of people think work-life balance, myself included, I'm speaking for a population here, I would imagine that they think working too much by default.
it's a balancing act between work and life. And if you're not managing that both, it can go either way. So Jake, for yourself, what does it look like to have a poor work-life balance?
So I'm actually going to start it on the flip side because you've inspired me. Sometimes I think when I am going to take an entire week off, that is going to give me an entire week to do the things that are important to me outside of work. And while it does give me the time to do that, I find that the time I spend doing that thing, my hobbies or what have you, are actually much less productive than if I had to work a regular week because I tend to value that time a lot less. And going back to the way we approached it originally with working too much, my evenings tend to look like yours when I have a bad work-life balance, bringing home my computer, logging on, working late. And, you know, sometimes that impacts my work the next day and it just tends to snowball.
And it's important to notice that not having a healthy work-life balance can lead to other issues such as burnout if you're working way too much.
It can also impact your personal relationships, whether it be your spouse or, you know, your family. It could be your friends. No one wants that. And it also can impact your health.
From personal experience, it can be easy to use a poor work-life balance as an excuse to let your health go a little bit. Not that I'm unhealthy. For anyone listening, I'm a strapping young man. But no, but it's easy to use it as an excuse because I got to work some more, so I can't exercise or I can't do this and that.
Yeah. And not only with your health, you can also use work-life balance or poor work-life balance as a way to neglect things that really do matter, like your family.
Right. And so I believe it all comes down to getting a sense, and you use the word appreciation for the time you have and really recognizing when it's important to focus on one thing or the other for the time that you have.
Right. Going back to burnout seems like it is almost always unavoidable. As we talked about in our previous episode, there are ways to get in front of it. Maybe we could talk about ways to foster good work-life balance.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about some of the things that you may find as an individual can help you maintain a healthy work-life balance?
Yeah. So I think a good one to start with is exercise. Exercise, even though I know I personally dread it, not always the funnest thing to do, but it really does help keep your body full of energy. It helps you not feel fatigued. And if your body is feeling good, then your mind feels good too.
And I would say not even just exercise, but just being active, have some active activity where you're up and moving around is very helpful to that because it clears a lot and it really helps you out.
And another aspect of work-life balance, I believe that people think of work as what happens from 9 to 5 and life as what happens from 5 to 9, but it doesn't actually have to be that way. Finding a work-life balance could be that 10-minute walk that you take between 10 and noon every day. Just actually getting outside and just decompressing a little bit can put your mind at ease, and being in a state of mental well-being will actually promote good, strong work.
I like that. Having some mental well-being is really behind work-life balance. It is not necessarily the linear separation of time. That's a very important aspect that you brought up that I didn't actually think about until you said it.
Right. It's not being too burnt out from work, and it's not being too lazy to work.
It's a great way to put it. And another good thing for achieving a healthy work-life balance is having hobbies. Whether they are, if you're a developer, development related or not, things you like to do that you look forward to do as another way to decompress mentally.
It's worth noting that when you have developing as a hobby, that can be a dicey area to get into when you are a developer full time. Would you agree?
I would totally agree. It's hard to sometimes separate what you do for work to something that's a hobby. And it's can be disappointing. You know, taking something because you probably became a developer. I know I did because you really enjoyed doing it. And I used to do it when I was in college and getting my degree. I spent a lot of my free time writing code because that's what I wanted to do. And I still love to do that. But when you do that for 40 plus hours a week, it's hard to go home and want to fire up the laptop and write some more. However, using new frameworks and different technologies that you may not use in your quote-unquote 9-to-5 job is a great way to keep development as a hobby and keep it separate from the work you do.
And we're talking about development as a hobby, but hobbies in general can also be analog. And I think that's a great way to decompress. Me personally, I do calligraphy and hand lettering, and being able to take my eyes off the screen goes a long way for me.
Yeah.
I know you play banjo.
Yes, I play banjo, as our listeners who listened to our goals episode might have heard. But I enjoy doing woodworking. Very Ron Swanson of me.
You're also doing some glass blowing, right?
I was doing glass blowing for a while. Yeah, it got hot for a while outside, so I stopped doing that. But yeah, doing something that is just completely different than what I do, and exercise is a different part of my brain. Very challenging and very fun. Like I love going rock climbing, and that's a big thing for me is rock climbing. And it's a form of problem solving, which I use every day as a developer, but it's a different type of problem, and it's exercise, and it's just, I'm still decompressing, and it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Rock climbing is awesome. I think going to the gym can be awesome too. If you enjoy it, not only is it problem solving, it's challenging. If it's a hobby, that's a plus too. And it also puts you around people. And having friends or meeting new people, making new friendships, having a social aspect to your life, and also at work, I think is a really important way to maintain that balance as well.
I totally agree with that. And I know, you know, here at our agency, we have a good social community with our coworkers and have a lot of fun. And that helps, definitely naturally helps balance the workload you have versus, you know, your life and the experiences. Can be hard because people have different levels of comfort with being social. There are a lot of introverted people and extroverted people, and they approach social situations differently. But I agree, having some social aspect to your life, both in work and outside of work, can help balance the two. So whether that's maybe you're more comfortable being social on the internet or by playing games with people, not necessarily having to go out and spend time with people, that's all right too. I think having those other human connections can definitely help.
One aspect that I struggle with actually is I would consider myself an extrovert, but I feel like I am fostering a poor work-life balance if I spend too much time hanging out with people, because a lot of what makes me feel like I am making the best use of my time is when I am working on my hobbies and working towards my goals. And sometimes going out with friends detracts me from that. So I have made much more of an effort to say no to certain things. And it's not necessarily, no, you're blowing off your friends, or no, I won't go out with you, but it's prioritizing your time and making the best use of your time to make it feel like you have a good work-life balance. If you don't have time to hang out with friends because you spend too much time doing your hobby and the rest of your time at work, things may get lonely.
So I'm naturally an introverted person, and I've been working on it for a long time. Not that it's something to be ashamed of, but I've never had to deal with that situation where I feel like I'm going out way too much, because spending a lot of time with a lot of people I find draining to myself. So I naturally limited it, but I definitely work towards spending time with others and gaining that social aspect, because I think it's important, especially building connections with your coworkers.
There's no definitive formula for it. Everyone's different and they need to find their own balance, but just think it's worth noting.
One other hobby I want to bring up that we both share is brewing beer.
Yes, home brewing is a lot of fun, and we've never actually brewed together.
We definitely need to, because that's one thing I like about that hobby is you can do it alone, and I've brewed beer alone, but it's a great social thing, and it can be a whole day affair, depending how technical you want to get with it.
Yep, and it's easy to relax. It's fun. It's got its own challenges. It's scientific, and it's a great way to just kind of kick back and chill with your friends.
So Jake and I have listed here just some examples of our personal hobbies and how we exercise and use our social life. Those are what work for us. And what may work for you, dear listener, is other hobbies and other things. So don't take these as you have to learn how to brew beer to have healthy work-life balance.
So Mike, instead of looking at this from the perspective of hobbies, let's switch it around again and talk about work.
Yeah, one of the things you can do to maintain a healthy work-life balance, and it's a hard thing for especially new developers to learn, is how to say no to that extra work that you may not be able to handle. And that goes with dealing with burnout as well.
Yes, and that ties back to saying no in a social aspect. Saying no at work is also a way of prioritizing what needs to get done. And saying no doesn't necessarily always fly well. So it's important that you're saying no in a way that's responsible, and so that people can understand that you have other things on your plate instead of just someone who's being difficult.
Yes, there are definitely good ways to say no and bad ways to say no. I'd actually like us to have an episode on how to say yes, no, and I don't know in the future.
Yeah, and maybe we can talk about this then, but I think it's worth throwing in now. So we have this mantra at our agency where instead of saying no flat out, we either say yes or no, but. And no, but is supposed to be a way of offering an alternative to just flat out saying no.
Yeah, and that's very important. I like the use of that to maintain a work-life balance. Say it's the end of the day, someone could come up to you, Jake, and say, hey, Jake, I need you to take care of this one thing. I know you're heading out. Instead of just saying, nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm leaving. You could offer up, sorry, I can't do that right now. I'm headed out, but I could address it first thing in the morning if that works for you.
Right. You know, that promotes good communication and fosters good inner department relationships.
Yeah. And that protects both yourself and the person who's asking for help. And so it helps maintain that work-life balance.
Going back to work-life balance in the context of the workday, one way you can kind of help foster that is by having an outline for the day. You know, we talked about prioritization, and prioritization is good, but also having a kind of master task list is a really important aspect of maintaining a work-life balance.
Yeah, and in our episode about task management, we were talking about different ways to establish your list of tasks. One of the things we brought up was making sure it's a mixture of work tasks and personal tasks. And this goes actually to prioritization, is making sure you prioritize both those types of things equally. You know, not just have all your work tasks are the most important things for the day, but mix it up with some of your personal tasks and items you want to get done.
Right. And particularly with avoiding burnout. Burnout can be the result of falling into a routine of taking too much work. So along with kind of task management and setting a plan for your day, it's important to think about your everyday as a routine that you don't necessarily want to fall into, or you don't want to fall into a bad routine. You want to try to set up a routine that is going to make every day manageable and not pile up to a point where it perpetuates into burnout.
Yeah. So Jake, let me ask you, how do you personally manage a healthy work-life balance?
So as we've learned, I am not always the best at taking my own advice, but how I've tried to foster a good work-life balance is to keep my work week to 40 to 45 hours. I find that if I'm working more, then it starts to eat into my day, which impacts my relationship with my girlfriend, as well as my ability to make progress on my hobbies. It's also important for me not to take too much time off or to take too much vacation time, because I have realized that I am the kind of person that when I take too much time off from work, that time off is not really doing me any good. It's just stagnant time. So I try to keep work at work and not bring it home. And that is generally accomplished by maintaining a sane amount of hours.
So what I do for managing a healthy work-life balance, it boils down to what you just said, keeping work at work and separate from home. I have a little secret of my own that I do to actually help keep those two separate, and it's what I call the buffer zone. Ask me what the buffer zone is.
Oh, Mike, what is the buffer zone?
So the buffer zone, for me, it's the time when I get off my train in the morning and I walk to the office. It's about a 10 to 12 minute walk. Same with when I leave the office and head to the train at the night. In that 10 to 12 minutes, I don't listen to podcasts. I do not think about work. I just let the walk go and I just experience the world as it is. I kind of let my mind go blank. I guess it's a form of meditation from what I know of meditation. But I find it's really important, because in the morning when I get off the train and I start walking my buffer zone, there's a physical separation between my personal life that started on the train and my work life when I arrive at the office. And I keep that mental, physical buffer there. So when I'm done working for the night, I close my laptop, I head out the office, I have that buffer zone to basically shed my work self, head back home, and then have my, you know, my personal life self.
I really like that. I do the same thing in a sense. I will introduce music or a podcast, but I'm actually going to try that without music or a podcast because it seems way more meditative. And what was also going through my head when you said that, maybe not all of our listeners take the train or walk to work. You can experience the same thing in your car on a commute. Just kind of turn off the radio, turn off your music, maybe put the windows down and just drive.
Yeah, and just, you know, experience the moment. Not that you can't have music. The reason why I stopped doing that really was because I was listening to work-related podcasts, like development podcasts, and I was not getting that buffer time.
Do you think that people should listen to Developing Up on their commute home?
I believe since Development Up is about the non-technical side of being a developer, you should definitely listen to it on your commute home. But take a couple moments afterwards or beforehand to just experience the world as it is and have that little buffer.
That's good advice, Mike. So one thing I think we should talk about as well is we have this notion that some weeks are better than others. Sometimes we'll have good work-life balance. Sometimes we'll have bad work-life balance. I believe that it's important to monitor what's happening with your work and your life at any given time. Do you have any recommendations for our listeners as to how to go about effectively monitoring their work-life balance?
My advice is if you're feeling stressed out, things don't seem the way they should be, you feel a little out of whack, take a moment to take stock about what's going on in your life, asking the questions, am I working too much? What do I feel like is impeding my day? And with that question, understanding, is it because you're doing too much work? Maybe you're not doing enough work. Maybe it's, you know, you're doing work at home and you're not paying attention to the other important aspects of your life. And so when you start to feel things getting out of whack, take a moment to ask yourself those questions.
Yeah, it's really easy to fall into a routine. And that's how burnout comes about, is just you do the same thing day after day. And before you know it, you end up in a less than desirable position.
And as you said, Jake, you know, it's going to happen where there's going to be some weeks that are better than others. And it's all about not the short-term balance, but the long-term balance. Just making sure that, you know, some weeks are bad, some weeks are good, some weeks are in the middle.
One way that you can preemptively try to prevent developing a poor work-life balance is to develop a positive routine. And that routine could look like regimented exercise, not like over the top, go to the gym every day exercise, but finding time every day to get a little bit of physical activity in, dedicating, you know, maybe you have Friday nights to go out with your friends, maybe Saturday is your day to work on your hobby. As long as you can find a consistent way to make progress in your personal endeavors and not let work eclipse your personal life.
Yeah, finding that time every day to just work on something that, you know, means something important to yourself. That's a good way to really monitor a healthy work-life balance. If you're not able to find any time in the day to work on something personal, then that's a sign that you may not have a healthy work-life balance.
I like it. Good stuff, Mike. Do we want to do a quick overview and wrap up?
Yeah, let's do a quick overview. So, Jake, what is work-life balance?
So work-life balance is the ability to find a balance between your personal life and your work life, whether it be your career or just your day job. It's important not to work so hard that you are burning out and taking time away from your spouse or your family, your friends, or not getting enough done in your hobbies to make it feel like you're wasting time. It's also not spending so much time with your friends or doing fun things that it makes you less productive at work. It's about striking a balance.
And what it looks like when you have a poor work-life balance is either you're bringing a lot of work home and you're ignoring personal aspects of your life, or you are letting your personal aspects of your life overshadow some of your responsibilities as a developer at work.
And a good work-life balance is your responsibility. It should never be used as an excuse. I think that's a really important takeaway. So we also talked about ways to achieve a work-life balance. Those can be hobbies, exercise, pursuing personal goals, spending time with friends, and then also prioritizing what you're going to be doing both at work and during your personal time.
I would also want to add again, the buffer zone, which I am a strong proponent of, is finding a way to separate physically and mentally what you have to do at work and what you have to do in your personal life.
Well said.
Another takeaway is being sure to monitor a healthy work-life balance. If you feel things are out of whack, Take a moment to ask yourself what doesn't feel right and why, and try to get things back into balance.
And if you want to be preemptive about not developing a poor work-life balance, try to develop a positive routine that involves doing things that are important to you in both your personal life and your professional life.
One more thing. Important takeaway is that what a healthy work-life balance looks like is going to be different for each person.
Yes, that is something we totally need to underline. A work-life balance is going to be different from person to person. There is no one formula or prescription.
With that, I'd be interested in knowing what some of our listeners do to maintain a healthy work-life balance, or what it means to them and why they think it's important. Jake, how could they let us know?
So you can find us online at developingup.com. You can also reach out to us on Twitter at DevUpPodcast and send us a note at our email, hello@developingup.com. We'd love to hear from you guys, and we always respond.
Yeah. So we hope you get a lot of this episode and you start to keep your work-life balance healthy and happy.
Thank you, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Later.